why are all these great things happening right now and I don't feel like doing it anymore? Like, is that the end?
Yeah, so we are talking about burnout.
Yep.
It's a sensitive subject, burnout. Like, a lot of people talk about it. People seem to feel immune about it. They feel like, oh, it happens to everyone else but me.
Mm-hmm. Until it happens to you.
Exactly. I've had it in my family. So my dad and both my dad and my sister both had burnouts. And so in my family, it's always been talked, like, for my brother and I, that, hey, you are in danger of having a burnout. So you can definitely get one. And lately, I've been thinking about it more and more and just trying to take a look at myself and see, like, how do I feel? Am I trying to suppress something? Am I trying to overwork something? Because my neighbor, actually, he's young. He's 22 or something. He also had a burnout really young. Mm-hmm. And the most interesting fact that I heard from him was that when you feel like you cannot do anything anymore and you feel like that's when burnout starts, it actually started way, way, way earlier. So like when you start getting sick more often, when you start having a lot of different symptoms, tiredness, your body starts to react with like a cold, a fever or anything to kind of prevent your body to actually, hey, give me some rest. And so, yeah, lately my mind's always been going on trying to fix everything. And as soon as I try to lie down, like I'll think of something else and try to act on it and kind of like always work, which is a terrible thing to do. So,
well, that's one of the pitfalls of freelancing and being creative at the same time is it's hard to shut your brain off. Sometimes.
It is. And you kind of like you're working for yourself. You don't have necessarily time on, time off kind of thing. And so you're really responsible for yourself. Like it's easy to tell someone else like, hey, take a break. Don't work so hard. But tell yourself that and you'll see like, oh, this is, I'm annoying myself. So yeah.
That's entirely true. Because with freelance, you know, I think oftentimes we talk about, oh, what do I do if there's not enough work or there's a slow time? And that can happen, of course. But what I think doesn't get talked about enough is, yes, with freelance, you could get no work, which is scary. But when you're your own boss and you set your own hours or limits, you can also work as much as you possibly want and can. And you might not, I think a lot of times earlier on in freelance careers, you don't even realize how much you're overworking yourself because it's all in pursuit of something you are so passionate about and really excited about, but you end up burning out because you can even burn out of things you're really passionate about and really like. The same way you can get tired of your favorite food or, you know, you can burn out of a good thing if you're overexerting yourself and doing too much, especially too, because we were listening to some stand-up the other night and John Mulaney was saying that he was like, I'm like 35 years old and I don't really know what my body is for yet. Like, I think it just carries my head from room to room. And what I wanted to bring up with that is like, our bodies are the vehicles for all of our creativity. And if you're not taking care of your body, your brain is also going to suffer and your creativity is going to suffer too.
Very true. So I wrote this Instagram story, how to burn out really fast. I want to take like a different approach, not the typical how to avoid burnout, but like these are the things that you can do to get a burnout really fast.
Fast track.
And so if any one of those you feel like, ooh, this could be me, like I want you to think of that of maybe a way to have like an alarm siren go off and just saying like, hey, I might need to address that. Most of those I had to address because a lot of them was something that I either forgot to do right or that I had to kind of put back in check and figure out a healthy way to deal with it. So if we want to start off, number one is how to burn out really fast is say yes to everything. So that is a freelance dream and nightmare at the same time. Is like you're getting a couple of requests, you're saying yes to everything. Like there are, like for me, it's always been there are some high seasons and there are some low seasons. There are seasons where like all the work is coming in and you get requests left and right and you want to do everything. Like you don't want to miss out on any opportunity. At the same time, like when it's low, like that's the time where you can actually recoup and find time to rest. But how do you deal with that, Lauren? Like, do you say yes to everything, or how can you say no to the right things and yes to the other right things?
So I can actually bring a little wisdom back with me from Adobe Max.
Bring it.
Chantel Martin, who's a wonderful artist, I think she's based in the UK, gave a keynote presentation. And she said one of the questions she gets a lot from younger artists is, how do I know what to say yes to and what opportunities to say no to? Like, what is your, how do you gauge that? And her advice was, which I loved, I wrote it down, was you have to feel. Like, we're human, we all have feelings. And you say yes to the yes feeling and you say no to the no feeling. So don't think of it so much as like, you know, a decision is you're going to know it's a yes or it's a yes or a no, but you do have a gut feeling about things and you kind of have to tap into that. And for me, I totally fell into that pitfall when I first started out of saying yes to everything, because you think it's going to be, you know, the more you take, the more experience you'll have and the more, you know, clients you'll have on your list. And it, you just see it kind of all as a net positive. But when you say yes to everything without much consideration, just for the sheer volume of it, you end up overloading yourself with, I guess, other things that come along with the project. So I used to think that there was no difference between doing five $500 projects or one $2,500 project, because same amount of money at the end of the day, right? Let's say in a month. And what I didn't realize, and now I know from experience, is each individual project and client you're managing comes with the admin for that specific client. You need to manage the relationship. You have different email threads. You have different briefs. All these things going on. You're going to send five invoices rather than one at the end of the month. And that can be overwhelming, especially too when you say yes to things, you don't understand at first all the other things that will open up. You know, when you say yes to five projects, you're also saying yes to five invoices, five following up on invoices, five email communications. So yeah, I think it, honestly, I don't know a single freelancer who hasn't been there before and just had to learn from experience like I did.
Yeah.
You just have to realize slowly that, huh, that amount of stress wasn't really worth it. And I came up with a really good analogy the other day that I was going to make a blog post about, but I'll share it with everyone here now, because this is where we talk about all the juicy stuff. When you say yes to all these smaller projects or all of these projects that you're like, you know, in your gut are not like a super exciting thing, but you say yes, that's the equivalent of, you know, when you are at a restaurant and you order your dish, but there's bread on the table and you always tell yourself, don't fill up on bread, I'm going to wait. But because the bread is in front of you right now, what do? We eat all the bread. And they come back and they're like, do you want another bread basket? And we're like, yeah, totally. And when you fill up on bread,
you're shaking your head no, but you're saying yes. It's like, yeah, exactly. I want it.
When you fill up on the bread, you're full for your meal. And what happens with freelancers is you say yes to all these little projects that you're iffy on, but you don't have anything else going on, so why not? And once you do that, that's when the big project that you actually want shows up and you're too busy. And then you overbook yourself or you have to say no. So don't fill up on the bread projects. And based on what Chantel Martin said and from what I've learned from experience, we inherently know what our gut is saying. Like, if you are iffy on something, that's a no. If you are excited by something, you know what these yeses are for you. And maybe you are not as in tune with your gut and you're more logical than emotional. What I would suggest doing then is make a list of your like non-negotiables, or make a list of the things that are yeses for you, you know, like at least a 2-week timeline, or, you know, working for beauty brands or only doing lettering. Like, what are the pillars of what you're trying to do? And make sure that the projects that you're saying yes to have some of those elements in them. Otherwise, I think that it's hard because it's always balancing short-term reward with long-term vision, right? And that's kind of like the challenge of running a business and just living your life of what's in front of you right now, aka the bread, is hard to resist when you can't quite see any of the benefits of the long-term focus on saying no to those. But in hindsight, you know, Stefan, you can probably say, and I can say no to the things that you know you don't want to do, because then you're just taking up valuable time that one, like you were just saying, you could be resting, or two, you could be making personal work. Like for me, I make so many passion projects, or you could just be using your time to be creative, doing other stuff you like to do. And honestly, that will benefit you more in the long run than saying yes to everything, even if they're all good. If you are lucky enough to have worked to be at a point where you have like 10 amazing opportunities in front of you, you just get to choose which, you know, three of those 10 are your absolute yeses. So the further along you get, the more picky you can be. And that's such a gift.
So yeah, you definitely said the filling up on bread. It's kind of like adding more responsibilities to your plates. And I feel the added pressure of responsibilities is you, depending on who you are, and people who are most likely to burn out in a sense, are the ones who deal with responsibility very cautiously, who don't want to disappoint anyone, who want to stick to their word. So just be cautious about like saying yes to more things than you ought to, because the yes is another added responsibility that you add to your portfolio or to your stress levels. And that goes into the next point, which is you want to please everyone. Everyone has everything they need, that they're happy. And it's, again, it's a brilliant thing. It's a great thing. So don't feel stressed about, oh, I don't want to burn out. But like people who want to do good stuff, like, or do good, usually are prone to burnout, because it's such a danger of like, you want to please everyone, you forget yourself. You either forget yourself or you put yourself in the back seat.
It's ironic.
And you totally forget how to deal with yourself in the end, or like you don't take your feelings into account.
True. I mean, speaking of what you just said, like with the back seat, like you should always be in the driver's seat. It is your career. It's your life. It's your work, your portfolio. If you're in the back seat, you're letting someone else steer, which is actually kind of scary. And, you know, everyone's been there before, you know, where you, I think what you said is true, Stefan, it's coming from a good place, wanting to serve others and wanting to make sure everyone's good and everyone has what they need. But you always have to come first, because at the end of the day, you're the one who needs to be driving the car. Otherwise, you might wake up in 5 years and realize you veered completely off course. And you also just, I think the less in touch with yourself you are, at least in my experience, the less in touch you are with your creativity and your ideas. And if you're not feeling inspired right now, or you're feeling kind of burnt out, I think that, that tip of like, maybe it's because you are trying to put everyone before yourself, and you might just have to take a step back. Like Stefan said, if any of these things in this list of how to burn out fast are describing you right now, take a step back, see what you could be doing differently. The great thing is, even when we make mistakes or start kind of wading out into dangerous territory as creatives, we can always reel ourselves back in or change course or step away from it. But yeah, I am a textbook people pleaser. Oh my goodness. And it's not a bad thing. It's only bad when you sacrifice your own needs in pursuit of helping other people or putting other people first.
So how do you do that? Like, how do you, as a people pleaser, how do you take care of yourself first?
It honestly just, it took me time. I'm still a people pleaser, but I have to set up systems and put in boundaries to help myself not go too deep into my people pleasing. So for example, like I have an agent who kind of is the buffer between me and clients. So when a client asks for a change that's outside of the scope, I don't have to do it. Obviously, you know, not everyone's in a place where they can hire help or get an agent. But if you try to put some like barriers in place, that helps. For me too, if I didn't have an agent, like before you even get into the situation where the people pleasing might happen, it can be helpful to think about what you're going to do and to have like some scripts written out of like how you're going to respond, especially because we do so much business over email now. One thing too, like with the people pleasing that I learned to do even before I got my agent, was when you're talking with a client, you know, you're getting an estimate together and you're on the phone talking through the project before anything's even signed. And they're like, okay, can you give us an estimate? Never give your estimate on the spot over the phone. Like tell them like, you know, I need to crunch a couple more numbers and I'll send it to you in an email later today. Because give yourself that buffer, you know, those boundaries, so you don't fall into your people-pleasing tendencies and say, you know, quote yourself way too low because you're trying to be nice to somebody else. And Yeah. So having those responses planned out, it's kind of like, I don't know if any, I feel like I'm dating myself now. When I used to have to call different people on the phone or call customer service, I would always make sure that I wrote out what I wanted to say, not like verbatim, but just my talking points of what to make sure I asked for. So yeah, doing things like that can help. I think step one is being aware that you are prone to that. And then step two, putting systems into place. But then also step three, which is the thing that comes with time, is realizing that you are important and realizing that you can prioritize yourself and it's not selfish. It's actually necessary.
Yeah.
And that in pursuit of your goals and your dreams, you will let other people down, but only because they aren't getting what they want. You know, let's assume that everyone is walking through the world prioritizing their needs and their goals. It's not always going to align with other people's, and that's totally fine too. You can say no in a completely respectful way. You can say like, you know, I actually just got a project inquiry 2 weeks ago and I could have taken it. And I ended up just emailing her back saying like, hey, I'm actually not taking on these kinds of projects. It was for like a wedding invitation thing. Yeah. And I was just honest. Yeah. And maybe 5 years ago, I would have felt bad saying that. And I would have lied and said, oh, sorry, I'm too busy right now. But I just wanted to be honest. And I said, you know, I'm not available for that right now, but here's someone who might be. So it's always helpful to, if you are a super people pleaser, here's a super people pleaser, super tip. If you're worried about saying no to things, if you want to be extra helpful and also say no, have a backup of like, refer them somewhere else. You can still be helpful and say no to protect your time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not available, but this person might be, or, you know, I don't do that kind of work anymore, but here are three people you could check out. Best of luck.
And even if it's a friend, like I see that thing happen a lot with people that like friends ask you to do, like, can you do me a logo? Can you do this little thing for me? Like, for them, it's little because they don't know how much time it will take you. And because they're friends, you'd probably even invest more time than you should. And all that adds up. And you just like you are a perfectionist in the end, like trying to make everything, like please everyone, make everything right for everyone. And the worst thing is like, by doing so, you totally forget how you are doing. Like, wait a minute, like I'm trying to juggle so many balls right now. Like that's what we said in the first point, is like saying yes to everything. And then second point, like then please everyone, is like, it's impossible. Like if you say yes to everything, like you will have to drop a few balls and let those down because you're just trying to juggle with too many balls at the same time. So saying no to people might be something good for them as well as for me, because you are protecting them from letting them down in the end. Like the worst thing that could happen, and it's like that's worst case scenario, is you actually burn out and they don't get anything. Like you are at the worst you can be because you cannot work anymore. You have to drop everything. Like those friends that I had that had a burnout, they all had to drop everything, and like nobody was helped with that. So better say yes and no to the right things. And I've been challenged with that lately, just like thinking, if I wouldn't do that for $1, why would I do it for $1,000 or more money just because it's nice? And I recently, got asked by Coke to do another post for World Kindness Day. I was super pumped to work with the whole team again. They're amazing people at the agency and at Coca-Cola as well. And then seeing what like the impact you get to have and post and share something, it's just amazing. And so I would have done that for nothing. And so that tells me like that's the right project. Like even though it's been so much stress in the last 2 days to kind of get everything done, like I was just excited to be part of this whole thing again, work with the people. And so that's a great, great thing.
That's kind of like why I do my passion projects. You can energize yourself by working, but in order to do that, you need to know the kind of work that's going to energize you, and whether it means creatively, like, yes, like you said, sometimes you need the money and there's a time and a place, but for the most part, trying to operate out of a place of, does this kind of project excite me? Would I do it for free anyways? Like, that's a good kind of place to start. And, you know, going off of your point too, when you are on a plane and there's a malfunction, you put your oxygen mask on before helping others. They specifically tell you to put your oxygen mask on first, because if you pass out, you're of no help to anybody else. And I think the same thing you were saying about burnout, like if you burn out, the result is that nobody gets anything from you for a while because you need to recover. And I was actually just talking with my boyfriend about this maybe 2 nights ago, about how we need to start thinking about burnout not as like, you know, oh, once you get there, like it's going to happen. It is inevitable that it could happen, like, and that you'll edge towards it. But we need to see burnout as not an option, because the result of burnout is more traumatic than actually just taking lots of breaks mm-hmm. in between to your business. Yeah. I think that the same way that you've heard us talk about consistency in showing up and putting your work out there and like doing the work, I think that showing up and consistently scheduling in breaks too is the way to go, because it's a slow burn. Yeah. You know, if you're trying to have a career that's going to last, you know, 20, 30 years, because this is what you love and this is what you want to do, you need to make sure you can sustain that. It's like if you were running a race, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You've probably heard Stefan say that. And if you run your fastest for the first part of the marathon, you might have to take a break like completely and sit out, you know, halfway through, or walk and go significantly slower than you would have had you just gone at a nice pace the entire time.
I love that, because, well, it's one, our next point will be how to burn mm-hmm. out really fast is by skipping breaks. But the analogy of doing it the long run, not the short run, I've been working mm-hmm. so hard on my business lately to kind of grow everything and to grow fast. Like I've been really, really been after like, how do I grow my business fast? How do I grow an Instagram fast? And how do I, like, I just wanted to add and kind of like build on top of what I've already had. And I spoke at my church with an older man, 60, he was in the photography team. And I told him like where I was at and how I felt and with my business, and like I feel stressed and like worried about kind of like not growing fast enough. And then he looked at me and he's like, with wisdom, like deep wisdom, looked at me and he's like, you know that your life is not just like the next 2-3 years, or it's not always till the year end. Like you don't have to run till always the end of the year to reach your goals, to make those things happen. Like your life is tens, 20, 30 years longer, and you can accomplish so much more. So don't build fast, build strong. And like, and I read that somewhere else in the book. And for me, that has been like, oh, you know what? This is great, because you don't want to skip things. You don't want to overpower things. You don't want to be just fast so you get those numbers, so you are like number one on maybe that list or whatever it might be that you're struggling or trying to achieve. For me, it's more like, all right, how can I do this, what I'm doing right now, for the next 10, 20, 30 years, or as long as I can possibly can, because I'll definitely get further. If I'm in it for the long run, then I'm doing it for just for the sprint.
It's true. And, you know, it's natural to get caught up in the growth and the numbers, because they're in front of us every day. And, you know, you see everybody else around you putting out all this work. So I totally get that part too. But yeah, it's kind of like, I always have to remind myself, I'm trying to build this thing. And like you said, the strong thing. So yeah, it's,
you might have to rework your foundation sometimes. Like it might cost you to go back down all the way down and kind of like dig a hole again, pour out another well-built foundation just to support whatever you're building. And so for me, that meant probably a couple of weeks ago that I had to revisit a couple of things that I was doing in my business. Like, how do I support now having a studio, a coworker, like an assistant? How do I manage to work with that? At the same time, trying to do everything else that I wanted to do. And now again, as well with the workshops, like adding those workshops, adding more on my plate with everything else that I'm doing, and trying, like I'm trying to build in every area, but I need to build the right supports to hold that on longer. And so that for me has been elemental in the pursuit of not like burning out mm-hmm. fast, is just to find breaks. And so if number three is skip breaks. Like you can burn out really fast if you skip every break. And that happened for me, like I think 2017 was the year that I started out with like taking Saturdays off and like completely off, like get off the phone, get off like WhatsApp, mm-hmm. Instagram. Last Saturday, I turned off my phone completely.
Amazing.
I left it on the bedside table and just like left it plugged in, but like so good. Like, promise you, if you can try not to schedule anything on that day so that you will never have to actually pick up your phone, it's the best thing ever. We're so addicted to our phones. And I realized that like in the last couple of weeks, and that's why I've been also just closer to a burnout, is because I, even on those days off where I usually always took my day off of everything, mm-hmm. was I still picked it up, and I ended up like at the end of the day, I was always on my inbox. I was waiting for emails. Mm-hmm. I was hoping some emails would come in, mm-hmm. some requests would come in. And you have all this thing that you're just waiting for something to happen, and the world to kind of erupt something out. And you are just like stressed and hooked to that phone, which you shouldn't be. And like one day a week, you should at least rest. And for me, the foundation for that was also really, it's like one of the 10 commandments. It's crazy to think about that, but like you should hold your Sabbath. And it's like, that's where we have 7 days a week. Most countries have 2 days off, like Saturday, Sunday. Some countries only have 1 day off, like depending if you're in an Arabic country, it's like maybe Friday or something, Monday sometimes. But yeah, for me, that was so like crucial. Like, wait a minute, not doing that, it's healthy for me. Like, again, these commandments are made for us. And it's like, if you want to live healthy, like it's good to take 1 day off.
Oh yeah.
Even two.
No, yeah. It's true, because, and I think that, you know, when I hear the word break too, I think a lot of us at first are averse to taking a break because we think of taking a break means doing nothing and like not being productive at all and not moving forward. It's like a standstill. So like, what? I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to take a break. But what I've learned, for any of you fellow workaholics out there, happy workaholics. Let me add that in. One thing that I found helpful is just kind of redefining what a break is. Sometimes a break is taking a nap, and sometimes a break is watching a movie and not producing but consuming and giving yourself a little bit of time to rest. But I would recommend trying to figure out what those activities and what those things are that recharge you. That's also a break. So for me, when I actually do take a day off on Saturdays with my boyfriend, and it's important for us to be people outside of, you know, two entrepreneurs living together. And so for me, like on Saturdays, Tom will like take a 3-hour nap, and that's great for him because that's what he needs. But while he naps, I will bake bread or make cookies. And that makes me so happy because, like you were saying, Stefan, I'm off my phone. I'm working with my hands. I'm using my brain in a completely different way mm-hmm. than I'm used to using it during the week. And I always feel so refreshed and recharged. So I would challenge anyone who's nearing burnout, or actually no, anybody, even if you're not even nearing burnout, keep an inventory and like a running list of what the things or people or places or activities are in your life that leave you refreshed rather than drained. Because mm-hmm. even the stuff you love can drain you when you do it all the time, which is, and I'm operating off of the assumption that what we're doing all the time is our work or our design businesses. And so make sure you're giving yourself just a little bit of a break from that. And so, yeah, I do have my rest and my downtime where I'm not creating and I'm just, you know, consuming or just doing nothing. I've actually been trying to do more of nothing rather than just watching Netflix, totally a time and a place. But there's something nice about just being alone with your thoughts, not having music in, maybe going for a run if you're not me, because I don't run. But like taking a bath. And not putting my, you know, laptop on the toilet so I can watch TV in the bath, just laying there. It's actually,
which is nice though,
pretty incredible to have nothing to do, even if it's just for 20 minutes or half an hour. You know, some people can work like 8 hours straight, no interruptions, like, and then for the rest of the night, they take the night off. For me, I'm kind of like I guess with my eating habits, like I'm a snacker. And so like, I'll work a little bit, take a little break, work a little bit, take a little break. So my breaks are like maybe much smaller, but scattered throughout mm-hmm. the day. And maybe it's not the most productive I could be, but works for me. I think the most important thing is when you're running your own business, and especially as a creative, is making sure you're still having some fun while you're doing the work.
Yeah.
If you're not anymore, that's a good sign that you need to take a break, or that you should maybe change things up. Because when you're not having fun and it's not somewhat enjoyable, you won't have that longevity to be able to do it for years. Always going back to food, but learning how to bake bread was something that actually taught me a lot about taking a break and resting. Because for any of you out there who bake bread, when you first make the bread, you have to let it rest. It's literally called letting the dough rest, because the protein needs to form inside the bread, and then it puffs mm-hmm. up, and then you punch it down again, and then you let it puff up mm-hmm. again for certain kinds of bread. So between the start and finish, there might be 2 hours of downtime that you're just letting the bread rest, and then it's only baked for 30 minutes. So actually, the majority of baking bread is rest. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. And having to do that taught me that, oh, we see it floating around the internet, right? Like, good things take time, or like, you know, honor your pace. And we're like, yeah, totally. But when it comes to our own lives, we're like, no, faster. Like, why isn't it going faster? Some things you can't rush.
We are extremely mm-hmm. impatient. Yeah.
No, you can't.
And also to think that we can achieve more without mm-hmm. taking breaks. Like, I hear that a lot. It's like saying, like, yes, I would love to take Saturday off, but you don't know how much things I need to get done. You can actually do so much more if you have one day of rest, if you get mm-hmm. one day of relaxation. And that's why I'm such a fan of this one day off, is because I remember 2017, and that's why I remember that I started then, was I was just like my lettering business was just about to take off. Mm-hmm. I was about to record a online course with Amanda Arneal. I had like a mm-hmm. book coming out on lettering. I had cool projects. I was getting into the insider group with Adobe. And so a lot of cool things were happening. And I realized on that weekend, I worked so hard that at the end of that weekend, or just at the end of that week, I kind of was so dead and tired, and I kind of had like no enjoyment for lettering anymore. I wanted to mm-hmm. quit. And I was like, wait, why are all these great things happening right now, and I don't feel like doing it anymore? Like, is that the end? And of course, now 2019, end of 2019, I'm still here. I'm still doing it. But like, that was on a Friday evening, and a Saturday I took the whole mm-hmm. day off and I did nothing. And it was just a great thing. And like on Sunday, I was pumped again.
No, it's true.
And so that's sometimes what it takes to really keep going.
Yeah, when you're tired, you don't enjoy anything to the fullest. It's hard to do stuff. Like, if you are ever running on just a couple hours of sleep, even the best meal or seeing your best friend is going to be dulled by the fact that you're really tired. If you just know that, like, okay, I need to sleep like 6 to 8 hours a night, you just do it and you naturally feel it. Like, when you start getting sleepy, you don't fight it. Well, some people do, but you could think of it the same way. Like, you have a better gut feeling on when you are creatively tired or burning out than you think you do. And so mm-hmm. don't push yourself to the point where you actually do feel exhausted. When you feel it starting to come on, kind of like when you feel like, I think I'm getting a cold, like it's about that time of year, everyone's about to get sick. You know when it's coming on. And what do you do when you get the tiniest, like even inkling that you're going to get sick? You start taking preventative measures. You drink your orange juice and you get more sleep and you wash your hands and you don't go out in the snow for as long. Do the same thing with your creativity and with your, you know, stamina for work.
Like, I never take medicine, mm-hmm. but until I feel that one tickle in the throat mm-hmm. where you realize like, ooh, I can feel that I'm getting sick. Like, I'm going to the pharmacy, like mm-hmm. I take out the whole range of stuff. Like, I put it all in my basket. I'm like, I'm going to eat all these vitamin tablets. And you're like, you should just take one a day. But still, when it comes to resting, I'm not as good as that, but I should learn to like really take a break. And if you're listening and if you feel like, hey, this, any of these three things sounded somehow familiar, or like you can relate to any of those points, like, take a moment and write down, like, what is it that you feel is talking to you right now, and ask yourself, like, what measures can I take? How can I improve that? what can I do better to be in for the long run, like not just play it out for the end of the year, not just try to get by the end of the year and get through that season, but how can you like really rest and have a good routine that you feel like I could do this for the next 10, 20 years. Like right now, I feel like at that pace that I'm running right now, or I'm trying to run, I cannot do that. And that's, I've learned that from running the half marathon. Mm. When you start out running and you feel like it's going too fast, like you're not in a sustainable pace that will keep you through the whole thing, because you will have to either go slower at some point, or then you'll have to break off the race because you're just like overtired. You can take the same image really in any other area, like creativity. If you try to strive too fast on becoming great, like, and this podcast is about striving artists. We're not about the burnout artists. We don't want you to burn out. We don't want us to burn out. We want you to be a striving artist, to reach your ambitious dreams and goals. And that's why we are in it for the long run. And so take a moment, take a step back and just think about these things. And in the next episode, next week, we'll go over the last 3 points. So it's do it all yourself, try to sleep less, and overpower your feelings. And we'll talk about these three major keys to not burn out, or to actually burn out really fast.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably talk for days on this topic. It got so much meatier than I thought it was going to get, but it's really, really true. I think burnout is something that needs to be talked about more often, and not just after the fact, like, hey, I burnt out, or hey, I'm currently burnt out, I'll be back in a couple weeks. No one really talks, I don't see enough people talking about the pre-burnout, like preventative measures, because I think that preventative care, kind of like with regular medicine, like preventative is always better than reacting to a problem that's already there.
It's so a lot easier. You can take.
It is actually, it's a lot easier. And from, let's say, like a, still using the medical analogy, it ends up being easier. It ends up being less expensive if you just do preventative care rather than having surgery or needing, you know, to make a major life change. If you're just taking small steps towards having that sustainable, you know, healthy lifestyle.
And we'd love to hear your feedback, to hear what you think about burnout, what you know, what you can share. Like, we love to hear stories. Use the hashtag Striving Artist Podcast to share those stories, to share about burnout. Like, if you want to increase awareness, it would just be amazing to hear about your voice. And you could be a voice for your friends, for your community. I try to be that for the community that I host. And so we can do a lot of good for others by talking about it, by not keeping it like at bay and just like trying to only talk about when it happened or something. But like, again, preventative measures are most effective and probably also the most efficient and cost less and will like hurt less. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Striving Artist Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to share it on social media. It would help us a lot if you could also rate, review, and subscribe to the Striving Artist Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or SoundCloud. This also helps us in ranking the show and would be greatly appreciated. We would love to hear from you via email, DM, or even voice message on Anchor. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.